I'm going to ask Jacob if he can possibly put the top of the message so that you can see it, so that we can go at this together. Awesome. The music that accompanied precedes this was chosen on purpose because it's the cry of those of us that have been under the influence of lots of things. And we knew Jesus and we knew those things, but we didn't really understand anything about his Father. We didn't get the revelation that he came to reveal his Father as Abba. We didn't get it. And therefore we also have been kept ignorant over the centuries about things that were done. We all think it's wonderful. But then when the internet and all that began to appear and information began to explode, we began to see, I think around the entire globe, we began to see that, hey, wait a minute, where did that come from? Where did the believing community abandon its Jewish roots? And we find out that took place in the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, led by a ruthless emperor called Constantine, who later on was called Pope Constantine the First. He's credited with making the emblem of the cross really valuable because he said it's attributed to him that he put the cross in the shields and used that to win a war. But by the same time, he had his wife and his children murdered so that there would be no heir to the throne. Oh, he's Constantine and Ahasuerus. Okay, and some of these other kings that we meet throughout the year in Messianic Judaism were not really nice people. Ahasuerus was not nice. Neither was Nebuchadnezzar. Neither was Sennacherib. They were not nice. And Alexander the Great, he may have been the great, but he wasn't really nice either. And Cyrus may have been the great, but he wasn't really nice either, other than he allowed the children of Israel to do something. And that's his greatest accomplishment, that he allowed the children of Israel to go back to their land. But when you read about all of this, then some of these people get all these names in history. The Great. Constantine the Great. Well, Constantine the Great did a great disservice because he had all of the things Jewish removed. They purposely left out the congregations from Asia Minor, the congregations from Jerusalem in that council. They were not there. To this day, the reason that the Greek Orthodox community looks different than, quote, its sister community, the Catholic community. They look different. Go to Israel. You can see immediately they're different. And they do all things different. Why? Because they were left out. They were left out. What we have, we've inherited. The Bible says that we've inherited a whole slew of lies. Us and our forefathers have inherited a bunch of lies. And it's not until this time in history that the Lord is allowing truth to be resonate with all of you. With me, it began by understanding that from Friday to Sunday, I never could figure out how you could count 3 and 3. 3 days and 3 nights. I just couldn't do it. I even took my slide rule and tried, see if it logarithmically could. You just can't. But nobody was talking about that. And if you ever ask anybody, they say, oh, no, 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 you see, you don't understand. I had a Catholic priest in Auburn University stand up. Somebody came from the Vatican. Stand up to say it's because Friday was a double Shabbat. God, since when do you call Friday Shabbat? Wait, Friday was a double Shabbat plus Shabbat, that's three. And I'm at a university, I'm a new professor. And I have a hard time as an engineer listening to that and not wanting to create. So right away, Arroyo got to be known. Yep. I said, I don't think that adds up to three. Thank you, sir. And so 3 days and three nights is what got me started. What got you started? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? You need to be answering the question to yourself, what are you doing here? Because this is not just a regular congregation. This is not just, you know, just a getting together and having a good time. Let's have some fellowship together. And let's do all these things together. It's way more than that. And the one thing that distinguishes us from anyone else is the fact that we are here on a Saturday. We're here on a Saturday. Who else is on a Saturday? Well, the Adventist. Yes, hallelujah for the Adventist. And the Jewish people. Well, the Jewish people do not believe in Messiah, generally. So it's a real problem because they have no idea who this Jesus guy is. They don't even know that he's Jewish. Like the rest of you didn't know he was Jewish either. That God revealed that to us. And the Adventists, they have some good things. They observe the dietary laws and they do a number of things. They're very much into prophecy. But it leaves it short because they also have inherited from the group that came from 325 AD this aversion and this sideness and this forget the Jewish things. Paul said in Romans 11 that we are grafted into an olive tree, that the natural branches also fell off, and we were grafted. And then Paul goes on to say how wonderful it will be when the natural branches that were cut off will be grafted back into their olive tree. He said it will be like the resurrection of the dead. We are those people who have been grafted in. Grafted into what? Not Constantine. No. We're not grafted into a group that is just Johnny come lately. Even if you think 1700 years ago is a long time. We need to be connected to the God of the ages. We need to be connected to the infinity of God. Not the car, the infinity of God. That's the car he drives. An infinity. The rest of us? And because we're connected to that, then these things mean a lot. I look around and where is everybody? Why, when you bring up the simple thing like, there is a fourth commandment. Duh. There is a fourth commandment, and it says, honor and observe and keep the Shabbat holy, separate. That's what that means. Sanctified, set apart. So you say, well, what day is Shabbat? Duh. We open the calendar and say, well, Shabbat is Saturday. So where did the Sunday come from? And you ask the question, where did the Sunday come from? And most nobody can answer it. Most nobody can answer it. Some people say, well, that's the day Jesus resurrected. Okay. Well, then we look in the book of Acts and see if they switched from Saturday to Sunday in the book of Acts. It did not happen, my friend. It did not happen. Do you remember the time that Paul preached like Tony Arroyo? And he kept preaching and preaching and preaching, and somebody fell off and died. What time, when was that? Saturday night. Yeah, it was the first day of the week, and Paul had to go resurrect him. Why did they meet on Saturday night? Because they went to the synagogue on Sunday, on Saturday. That's right. What? That's what we should be saying. What? How many Sunday services did Yeshua attend when he was here? How many? Just one? Can there be just one? You might say, well, he attended his own resurrection. I'm sorry, but not really. I'm sorry, but not really. One of the things that is critical that's brought the majority of you here is a revelation of God's Shabbat. Okay, maybe not for some of you, but I can certainly tell you that it is for Joe and Stephanie and other people as well. They got the right foot instead of hand of fellowship for many places because the partially Baptist kind of like they were associated with were not very impressed with that. They themselves came into Shabbat and came into the Holy Spirit experience much later. Had they had that, they would have gotten the double foot fellowship. But they got it later. They attempted to go find someone who keeps Shabbat and found a Messianic congregation in Melbourne and tried with all of their heart to be part of that. I think great testimony. Have you been trying with all of your heart to be part of something? What the something is that you're talking about? Isn't that just a service today? Isn't it just another day? Aren't we just here to have a service just like, you know, like everybody does tomorrow? I'm telling you the answer to that is a big, big no. And I want to prove it to you. So read with me Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 18. That's in the Complete Jewish Bible? No. It's in the TLV. This is straight from the TLV, except that I added some things in parentheses. And it's posted in the message that's on the web already. Beginning in verse 12, it says, "Then Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, By the ver Adonai el Moshe lemor. Verse 13, speak now to Bnei Israel, saying, There is a quote. So he started saying, surely, okay, this time I like the King James. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Oh, you thought that was Yeshua who made that up. It is not a characteristic of Yeshua. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Where did he get it? He made it up. No, he got it right here from if not. There's plenty of places, but here it is. Surely, verily, verily, I say to you, you must keep. That word keep is actually the Hebrew word shamar, which means to guard. And the future tense of this is tishmeru. The future tense is tishmeru. It's future second. What is it? Person. And the second person is the one that can tolerate the you that's not there. So in speech, when we want our children to do something, we say, you clean the room. No, you don't. You look at him and say, clean the room. There's a command. The you is implied. The you has to be put in. By the way, that means that the analysis of this doesn't follow what we engineers want. Linear, time invariant, ergodic, causal. This is not causal. There is a you being stuck in here that we understand in command form. The you is not there. It's implied. So how do you tell the computer, hey, computer, it's implied. How do you build a machine that with no input, tishmeru? No input. Where's the you? We supply it. That makes us non-causal. That makes knowledge and language analysis very, very interesting. So the word in the Hebrew here that I'm listing for you here in red is tishmeru, which is future command form for the verb shomer, which means that you must keep, okay? Surely you must keep. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Surely you must. You are going to. You will. You shall. In English, guard. That's what it means. I know we say keep, but the proper is guard. My Shabbatot. When I didn't know any Hebrew, I would say my Shabbats with an S on it. The Hebrew for Shabbat is Shabbatot, because Shabbat ends in a T, in a Tav, and it's feminine. Interesting. Interesting. My Sabbath. For it is a sign. The Hebrew word there is ot. O-T. Ot. It is a sign between me and you. Between who? I, Adonai, and you, my people. Throughout your generations, so you may know. The word there is yodea. The word yodea means intimate knowledge. So that you may have intimate knowledge that I am Adonai who sanctifies you. That word sanctify is kadosh. The song we sang comes from the word kadosh. So I will kadosh you. It's improper English or Hebrew. But it's okay. I'm Puerto Rican and I can speak Spanglish. Therefore, 14, you are to keep. One more time. Therefore, you are to shomer the Shabbat. Because it is holy for you. It is holy for you. It is kadosh for you. Everyone who profanes it will die. The King James Version says, surely be put to death. I like that emphasis here. It appears in a little bit. It's there. For whoever does any work during Shabbat, that soul will be cut off from the midst of his people. Work is to be done for 6 days. But the seventh day is a Shabbat of complete rest. Does that leave any? Now the only question here is, what does he mean by rest? And I intend to answer that, okay? Holy to Adonai. This day is holy to Adonai. Not working is holy to Adonai. Complete rest is holy to Adonai. I'm not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not alluding back to some catechism or something. We're reading it right straight out of the scripture. Whoever does any work on the Shabbat will surely be put to death. That's the TLV, adding that which I wanted to add back there. So then the next thing that comes is something that we know very well. Veshamru v'nei Israel et ha-Shabbat. La'asot et ha-Shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Veni uvein b'nei Israel ot hi le'olam kisheshet yamim. Asa Adonai et ha-Shamayim ve'et ha-Aretz. Uvayom ha-Shvi'i Shabbat v'yinafash. Let's read it in English. So B'nai Israel is to shomer, here it is, to keep the Shabbat. Three times is a charm, okay? Three times, he said we're supposed to guard it. Have you been guarding the Shabbat? It's time to put on your gun back here. And you know, take out your AR-15. And something comes in to try to mess with Shabbat, it's time to take the AR-15. And make business. I mean it. He does too. I mean it. He does too. To observe. Now that's in English. It doesn't give us any. To observe. That means that I could sit and watch it in video. I'm thankful that you're watching in video out there. I'm not getting on to you. But the ultimate thing is not to watch it. This is not what it means. This is not a thing to go and you know, let's get Facebook and whatever and watch it on TV. Because the Hebrew word here is la'asot, which is the infinitive of the word verb to do. Because you cannot do the Shabbat throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. That's a suggestion. Right, only for a little while. It is a sign. Here is repeated again. That word ought, the sign, is the covenant sign. The covenant sign of marriage is the wedding band. The wedding ring. My wife likes the ring thing with the big stone in it. The rock, she said. I want my rock. It's a covenant sign. Between who? Between I, the Lord, and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days Adonai made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he ceased from work and rested. That word rested is vayinafash. The word vayinafash is a vav conversive, future tense verb. You know what it actually means to animate, to refresh the soul, or nefesh. In other words, there will be a refreshment of the soul. That's the rested part. The rested part is not so that you can do homework. The rested part is not so that you can study for final exams. The rested part is not so that you can do projects around the house. Sorry, Joe. No projects on Shabbat. And he's got plenty of them. You can work on it 6 days a week, but Shabbat, you blow the trumpet and the shofar. It does not mean to rest in the English way. In other words, to cease working or cease being busy. If Adonai was not busy, how will the world survive? He says that unless he's on it, we would not have a breath. We would not have life. It has more to do with refreshing the soul, nefesh. In other words, one will be refreshed. Verse 18, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave the two tablets of the testimony to Moses. Tablets of stone. I think that here is something that we don't always understand. And it says, written by the finger of God. We think Moses was the chisel guy. Sorry. I have 8 minutes. my 30 minutes. The Torah is never so much up in heaven or so far away that it ignores the realities here on earth. In this week's reading, we see how the Lord establishes intimacy with his brand new Am Segula, with his brand new, literally, special treasure or peculiar people, to quote the Apostle Peter. This is his Israeli bride. All marriages require special and significant times of communication and intimacy. All marriages. In this parasha, we're introduced to the marital appointed times that the Lord is interested in. They're called Mo'adim. And the first Mo'adim is the Shabbat. It will eventually be discussed in Leviticus 23. And also at the end of this parasha. But at the head of the list is Shabbat, which is a weekly Moed, a weekly appointed time, a weekly date. It is on Shabbat that the bride and the groom meet in a special way, intimate with each other. The Lord came to be intimate. He came to have a kiss and a hug. He came to get into his arms and say, "Daddy, I've been missing you." That kind of thing. That's why you come for Shabbat. Not to humor me or Marilyn or anything else. Now, these were eternal words, which include eternal commands. These are commands forever in all your generations, it says. Please note that this word shomer, I've spoken of many times. It means to pull guard duty. To pull guard duty of a Shabbat, of a Shabbat. So shomer is to do the actions performed by appointed soldiers or guards in the military whose mission is to protect the assigned post. One of the things we're told is that it is of the utmost importance that this island of time. Ooh, what do you mean island of time? Well, it's preceded by Gentile days and it's followed by Gentile days. But the seventh day is not Gentile. The seventh day doesn't have a name. Or does it? It's not just called the seventh day. It's called Shabbat. What's Sunday called? The first day. And what's Monday called? The second day. What are the words Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday come from? Well, don't ask. So this is an island in time. It's surrounded, and there it is, the island in time. Three words I want you to get into your kushkus. It is sacred time. It is sacred time because Adonai himself selected it, his choice. For sacred people, what do you mean, sacred people? We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar Am Segula people. We are the people of God. And we are supposed to be holy because he is holy. Therefore, we are sacred people in sacred space. Sacred time for sacred people in sacred space. It is precious and must be guarded. Soldiers face stiff consequences for neglecting their guard duty properly. They get court-martialed. I know that you don't like me saying these things, but you could be guilty of a court-martial offense if you don't do the same for Shabbat. Now, are we going to do it? You know, it's up to you. I'm not here to have the AR-15 and to have all of this and to tell you as your Holy Spirit. I'm not your Holy Spirit. But you might as well know that if you mess around with Shabbat, you're messing around with an offense that is punishable by court-martial. We saw an example of this kind of discipline above. The Holy One levies this kind of discipline, worthy of death. is mentioned here. Whenever something like that happens in the Torah, you know that it's a very basic Torah principle. We either see something as life or death, holy or unholy, clean or unclean. Is there a third possibility? To step out of the realm of life is to step in the realm of death, correct? How does a person walk in the realm of life? The answer lies in the secret of Shabbat. Oh, the secret of Shabbat? The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. He will let them know his covenant. Shabbat. Where do you find the secret? It's in the fourth chapter of Hebrews. We find that Shabbat is Elohim's portrait of who we are in Messiah and what the good news really is all about. It teaches us that Elohim's definition of the real good news is as follows. You see, anyone who's believing in Messiah has entered into Elohim's spiritual rest. That rest is identified with being nothing less than Shabbat. Let me quote it for you. For the one who has entered into Elohim's rest has himself also rested from his works, just as Elohim did from his. Serious stuff. I'm almost done. 148. The rest being implied here is intended to be the same as the Lord's rest. How do we know what is the Lord's rest? You go to the Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. There it is. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, along with everything in them. On the seventh day, God was finished with his work, which he had made. So he rested. Vayishbot. Vayishbot, from the, it's a vav conversive of the verb Shabbat. Did you know that Shabbat is a verb? An action thing. On the seventh day from all his work, what is his work? In Hebrew, it's melachto, which means the following: work, craft, skill, trade, vocation, occupation, and labor, which he had made. What had he been doing? He's been speaking forth the creation of the world and all the inhabitants therein. The text says that Elohim stopped doing his craft, his skill, his trade, and his vocation because the work was completed. Was there anything left to be done? No, he added the woman, and that was the end. That's the crown of creation is the woman. There are only two things left to be done. Stop the creating work and refresh your soul. This portion tells us that among other things, we are to la'asot, which Sam kept doing. Do. We got to do. We got to la'asot Shabbat. We got to do Shabbat. What do you mean do Shabbat? I mean, we got to have a special effort to do it. Do what? Whatever it is. Not be random. You have to do it. If Shabbat were to be a day of inactivity, then how would you do Shabbat? When you do, there's activity. There's energy. It's not potential energy. It's kinetic energy. Okay? Therefore, it is not by taking a nap. Now, hey, Rabbi, you don't like naps on Shabbat? I usually get one late on Saturday afternoons. I sit there and try to think of the Lord and whatever. After we get through talking, there's this period of inactivity, and you might hear a beast of the field. The Arch Scroll Humash tells us the following. It is a token, Shabbat. It is a token of respect for the Shabbat that one prepares for it ahead of time. Therefore, one makes, that is, la'asot, Shabbat by preparing for it So it will be observed properly when it arrives. What does that mean? It shall not catch you by, oh my God, it's Shabbat. I got a word for you. Repent. Repent. Not supposed to catch you that way. Supposed to be waiting for it. Like so many things in Torah, Shabbat is a sacred picture. This is my last words here. We have to carefully guard Adonai's sacred pictures. Protecting this particular sacred picture means that we should do all we can to see that its preparation, spiritual and physical, for Shabbat begins ahead of time. And carefully plan our work and shopping for that day. Shouldn't be the day to go get gas. Shouldn't be the day to go take the garbage. Well, once in a while, you can. So I took the garbage this morning. Bad boy. But whenever I can, I want to take that garbage on Friday, not Saturday. Why on Saturday? Why not on Saturday? Because it's hands-free. It's just joy. Joy, joy, joy in my heart. That's what Shabbat is supposed to be. This helps to ensure that when the preparation day, Friday, arrives, we are ready to do whatever it takes to do Shabbat properly. Why is that? Because we came to meet face to face with the God of the universe. If that doesn't get your you need prayer in that case. Therefore, since we came to meet the face with the Holy One of Israel, I can say, Shabbat Shalom.